Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Beis. We left off on the bottom of daf Chaf Aleph and Beis at the Mishnah toward the bottom of daf Chaf Aleph and Beis. And the little sugi at the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Beis is going to discuss the concept of Maimid B'davar HaMekabal Tuma, whether Schach can be supported by something that's Mekabal Tuma. And then on the top of Chaf Beis and Aleph, the Mishnah is going to discuss a Sukkah HaMeduvlelis. We're going to have two interpretations of what a Sukkah HaMeduvlelis means. And we're going to mention that it is kosher, but first we have to interpret exactly what it means. The Gemara is going to discuss if you have a gap of height, if you have scattered schach, different heights, so if the gap of the height is less than 3 tefachim, or each board is at least 1 tefach wide, then the schach is kosher. We view it as if it's all on one level. We ignore the fact that there's a gap in terms of the height, and the Gemara is going to prove that this idea of chavut rami, that we view it all as one level, we view the higher schach as if it were lowered down to the level of the lower schach, that only applies when it is a tefach wide. That's the majority of Amud Aleph is going to go to proving that point. And then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to try a counterproof. It's going to try to prove from a case of beams by a mavoi that we don't need a tefach wide in order to say chavut rami, in order to apply the concept of chavut rami. The Gemara is then going to ask a stira between two mishnayos, between our mishnah and the mishnah and daf beis, of what the halacha is when the ratio between schach and avir is exactly 50-50. So it seems that we have a stira in terms of that halacha. And then at the very end, before the next mishnah, there's going to be a machlokas whether if the schach is so thick that even rays of sunlight can't enter the sukkah, whether that's kosher or not. So again, let's pick up now from Chaf Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Somech Sukkaso Bikiria Mita Kshera. If a person supports his sukkah supports the schach by his bed frames, that is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Eini Yichol Lama B'fnei Atzma Psula. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if the schach would not be able to stand on its own without the bed frame, then it is possible. If it's only the bed frame that's holding up the schach, that's going to be possible. My time in Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda think it's possible if the bed frame supports the schach? So the Gemara says it's machlokas, two explanations of Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Pligi bar Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba bar Mamal. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Abba bar Mamal. Chadam reshein la keva. One opinion says that the problem is that it lacks a sense of kvius. The bed, as we discussed yesterday, is an ohel arai. The bed is considered something that's very temporary, so it doesn't have that sense of kvius when you're mesachich on the bed. The other one says that no, that it relates to the fact that you're being mamid b'davar mekabel tuma, that you're supporting the schach with a bed, and the bed itself is mekabel tuma. Now the first understanding is that it lacks a sense of kvius. So what it lacks a sense of kvius, so Rashi points out, this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shita. So, who holds sukkah diras keva be'inan? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that a sukkah could be 40, 50 amos high, that it's diras keva, that a sukkah should be a diras keva, it should not be a diras harai. So if it lacks a sense of kvius, that would passel the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that would make this discussion probably shalo kahalacha, because we don't paskin sukkah diras keva be'inan. But if you say like the second interpretation, that's a new issue. This is a new concept that we haven't discussed yet. That not only is there a problem of using something that's mekabel tuma for schach, apparently you're not even allowed to support schach with something that's mekabel tuma. So it says more on my benayhu. What's the nafkamina between the two answers? Between the two explanations of Rabbi Yehuda, kigon shenaat shvudin shel barzel v'sikei chalehem. What if you didn't support your schach with your bedposts? Rather, you stuck in iron poles and you supported the schach with iron poles. So if you're worried about a sense of kvius, well, metal iron poles should certainly solve any problem of kvius. That's absolutely kavua. But if your concern is that being mamid b'davar mekabel tuma is a problem, well, you're still being mamid b'davar mekabel tuma if you use shvudin shel barzel. So that's not going to work. That this whole discussion is only if the schach actually rests on the bedpost. But if you have other poles that are really supporting the schach, even though it's directly on top of the bed, that's going to be kosher. My time, why would that be kosher? For both explanations. If your concern is that there's no sense of kvius, well, it will have a sense of kvius if it's being supported by another frame. And if your concern is that you're being mamid b'davar mekabel tuma, well, if the bed is not what's supporting it, it's some other frame that's supporting it, well, then you don't have to worry that you're being mamid b'davar mekabel tuma. There is a machlokas rishonim had a paskin over here. The Ran paskin is like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we have this machlokas started as a machlokas in the Mishnah. If you're somich b'kiri amita, is it kosher or not? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that when you're somich b'kiri amita, there's some sort of problem. If it's not able to be omid b'fnei atzma, there's a problem. So the machlokas in the Gemara was what Rabbi Yehuda meant. But do we even paskin like Rabbi Yehuda to begin with? So the Ran paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in Daf Yoram and Alf Midapi Arif, because he says the whole sugi in the Gemara, this whole little piece, which is Mishnah to Mishnah, was all within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara spent the entire time discussing only Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And this is the Ran l'Shitaso, who explains like the Ravi, that Rabbi Yehuda says Psula is lav dafka l'Shitaso that Sukkah diras keva bi'inan. And therefore, even if you say that he's going with Shita, so we could still passel based on Maimon B'davar Mekabel Tuma. Meaning, even if we don't have to say that this is Dafka Rabbi Yehuda L'Shita, so. And the Ran writes that it's mashma from the Rif that way, because the Rif writes quotes Abaye in the Halachos, so it must be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But in the Sefer Hashlame, he says that the Rif passel is like the Rabbanan. When the Rif quotes the Shita of Abaye, it's the Rav Chedemilsa, that even if you want to be mashma like Rabbi Yehuda, you should only be machmir if you're somech, but not if you're sikech. Only if you actually support it with the bed frame. Because if he would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, he should have brought the logic for Rabbi Yehuda, and he doesn't. So it's machlokas whether the Rif paskins like Rabbi Yehuda or not. The Bala Ma'or paskins like the Rabbanan, that yachid v'rabim alacha karabim, and therefore it's very clear that you should always paskin like the majority opinion, not like the minority opinion. So why would this be any exception? So the logical thing to do with a normal Kalei Apsak would be to paskin like the Rabbanan. The Rush says that there's no machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda is only bal defarish divrei Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda is only explaining the sheet of the Rabbanan. So yeah, you'd paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on the Rabbanan. And normally, when it's Rabbi Yehuda Omer as opposed to Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so normally that is a sign that it is a machlokas, but that rule is not ironclad. We do have sometimes where you'll have the name before the Omer, and it's not a machlokas, and we have sometimes where you have the Omer before the name, and it is a machlokas. It's not an ironclad rule, but it's just typically that would be the case. But the Rosh Ovir suggests that it's not even a machlokas to begin with. So that's a machlokas rishonim. So again, so you have a machlokas rishonim whether we pass like Rabbi Yehuda or not, and then you have a machlokas rishonim whether it's even a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum. So how do we talk a paskin Shulchan Aruch about something that's maimid v'davar mekabel tuma if you support your schach with something that's mekabel tuma? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's a mitafresh lamid si'if gimel hasomech sukaso b'kirei amita v'akrayim him hamechitzos. If the bedposts are the mechitzos and you support the schach purely with those bedposts, im yesh pagova yutfach min amita l'schach k'shera. If there's 10 tfachim, as long as it's 10 tfachim from the surface of the bed to the level of the schach, that is kosher. So it's mefurish that the Shulchan Aruch holds maimid b'davar mekabel tuma is kosher, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat Nun Tes, that that's what the Shulchan Aruch is passing, that being maimid b'davar mekabel tuma is kosher. And Rav Salvechik said that that's how his grandfather Reb Chaim used to paskin all the time, and the truth is it sounds that way from the very first daf of this Masechta. Elameyata asam mechitzel shal barzel v'siche chal gaban hachanami delavi sukkah. The Gemara had asked, if you hold sukkah diras haray, so if you have mechitza shel barzel v'sikei chal gaban, do you think it's not going to be kosher? Of course it's kosher when you have mechitza shel barzel v'sikei chal gaban. So the implication is, obviously barzel is mekabel tuma, and yet you're allowed to be mesakech on top of mechitza shel barzel. So the pashul lashon of the Gemara from the very beginning of the Masechta sounds like maimid v'davra mekabel tuma is not a problem at all. So why are so many people worried about Ma'amid B'davar HaMekabel Tumah? If the Shulchan Aruch says it's not a problem, the Shulchan Aruch says it's kosher, and it seems that some of the Gemara assumes that way. So many of the Achronim are concerned about Ma'amid, and the reason is that there seems to be a stira in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Chav Tes, Si'if Ches, says that you shouldn't put a sulam ala gag kidei l'sakei chal gabav. A person should not put a ladder on a roof and then use that as support for the schach, because the ladder is mekabel tuma. The Ramah adds, afilu lanichol eschach lachziko aser. Even if you're not putting the ladder under the schach, you're putting the ladder over the schach in order to strengthen the schach, in order to hold the schach down, that too is going to be aser. So it sounds from that halach in Shulchan Aruch that Maimid B'davar HaMekabel Tumah is a problem. So depending on how you answer that stira, you may have a problem with various forms of a Maimid B'davar HaMekabel Tumah. When we hold our schach down, when we support our schach down by putting things on top of it that weighs something, so we should make sure it's beams, it's 2x4s, things like that, but not actual kelim. When you put kelim on top of the schach to support, that's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. That's like putting the ladder on top of the schach to support, that's going to be possible. What sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, though, is that when the maimid is the walls of the sukkah, so the walls of the sukkah being mekabel tumah is not a problem. That's an okay maimid, because that's what we said, that the kiryat amita, that's okay. The Shulchan Aruch was fine with that. It's only when the maimid is not the wall of the sukkah, the maimid is there specifically as part of the schach, either that which supports it from underneath or that which supports from above, but they're independent walls of the sukkah. Aside from the maimid, that's where the maimid seems to be a problem in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what it sounds like. Now, the Gemara, the pashtus of this sugya is that Maimid B'davar HaMekabel Tumah is a problem, because we're trying to explain Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yehuda's problem is, and we say that Rabbi Yehuda's issue over here is Maimid B'davar HaMekabel Tumah. So the Ramban raises the question, why is it any different than the Mishnah we're going to have at the end of today's daf, which we're probably not going to get to, but Ha'osu Sukasu Barosha Ilan, if a person makes his sukkah on a tree, that it's going to be kosher. So why should that be any different, that's going to be kosher, whereas Maimid with Davar Mekabel Tumah is considered to be possible. So the Ramban explains, Avala Usa Sukasu Barosha, because Nilan after all is Mechubar, so what difference does it make whether the Maimid is Davar Mekabel Tumah or the Maimid is something that's Mechubar L'Karka? The Maimid is something that's not kosher to use for Eschat, so it should be a problem. So the Ramban writes, Avala Usa Sukasu Barosha Ilan Sheshanu Kshera Eino maimid mamish b'mechubar. You're not actually being maimid with a mechubar. Elish ha-mechubar so meches ha-maimid demaisa karka bialma ka'avid. The mechubar is supporting the maimid because the mechubar is just doing a maisa karka bialma. It's serving as karka bialma. So what does the Ramban mean? Rav Soloveitchik in Harei Kedem, Siman Sadiches, says the Ramban might mean two different things. One possibility is that the ilan is not a maimid, it's a maimid de maimid. It's supporting that which is maimid the schach. And a maimid de maimid is mutter. Even if you hold the maimid is a problem, a maimid de maimid is mutter. That's the well-known chumra of the Chazanish. Chazanish held that even a maimid de maimid is a problem, that you can't even support that which is supporting the schach with davar mekabel tumah. So the canvas sukkahs with the metal poles, so even if you put 2x4s, according to the Chazanish, the 2x4s are the maimid, but the metal poles that support the 2x4s are a maimid de maimid. So almost every other posting in the world would assume that's kosher, maimid de maimid. What it's a chumra, Rav Shechter used to refer to it as a chumra al gabe chumra. The whole concept of maimid is a chumra to begin with. So because the Shulchan Aruch passes is technically maimid is mutter. So chumra al gabe chumra, to say that a maimid de maimid is a problem, but so that's one interpretation of the Ramban, that the reason it's okay by the ilan is because it's a maimid de maimid. The other interpretation of the Ramban is that the ilan is not just a maimid, it's actually the karka of the sukkah. So if it's serving as the karka of the sukkah, it loses its shei maimid. It's the, even though it physically is supporting the schach, but we don't look at this as schach support, we look at this as the sukkah. Only that which is functioning purely to support the schach, that's its only role in the sukkah, only that would be a problem of maimid. But if something is being used as the walls already, or it's being used as the karka of the sukkah, so then it's not going to be a problem of maimid b'davar HaMekabel Tumah. So Rav Soloveitchik should point out, probably it would depend on the following chakira. Do we assume that when maimid, when something that's mekabel tumah supports the schach, that it becomes like the schach itself? The chalos psul of the maimid is in the schach itself, it's like you're being mesakich with schach pasul, or do we say no, that it's a special psul to be maimid the schach b'davar makabel tumah, it's its own independent psul, but it doesn't become that is that part of the schach. Now Rashi in Dibra Maskel b'ma'amida writes, hol v'ikaro shel schach elu ma'amidin havi ki'ilu sikech b'davar makabel tumah. Clearly, like the first side, that it sounds like that when you're mamid with schach pasul, it pasuls the schach itself. It's as if the schach itself is mekabel tuma. So nafkamina would be that if you say like Rashi, luchari even a maimid, the maimid would be pasul, because if anything that supports anything is considered as if it's the item itself. So what my nafkamina? How far removed it is? If it's at the end of the day, if A is supporting B, so A is the same as B, then B is supporting C, B is the same as C. So A is the same as C. So if the maimed is mekabel tumah, would be a problem. But the achronim seem to assume, like in the Ramban, that maimed the maimed is mutter. Which would seem to assume that maimed is a gzeirah mechudeshes. It's its own separate gzeirah called maimed. Another nafkamina would be: what if you're not maimed with davar mekabel tumah? You're maimed with some other psul, not about mekabel tumah. So it could be that would be subject to this machlokas. If you say that whenever you're maimed with davar mekabel tumah, whenever you're maimed with davar mekabel tumah, it's as if that's the schach itself, that the maimed is considered part of the schach itself, so then it doesn't make a difference if it's mekabel tumah or any other sort of schach pasul. It would be considered part of the schach itself. But if you hold it some gzeira mechudeshes, it's some independent gzeira that you're not allowed to be maimed with davar mekabel tumah, so then maybe that's an independent gzeira relating to mekabel tumah, but not relating to other types of schach pasul. Okay, that's a little bit about maimed. Says the Mishnah now in the top of Chav Beis Amaral, sukkah meduv lelas. If you have a sukkah, that is miduv lelas. The Gemara will explain what that means. If you have more shade than sunlight, kshera, such a sukkah is kasher. Rashi points out, you're probably wondering, wait a second, didn't we already learn this thing about more shade than sunlight? We already learned in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, chamas miru metzilsa pasul, that if there's more sunlight than shade, it's pasul. So Rashi says, don't ask that kasha, ein adoma zulazu, demikashya kashya na'adadi. If you're wondering that we already learned this halacha, not only did we not already learn this halacha, in fact, this is a stira between the Mishnah Daf Beis and the Mishnah here, 20 blot later, on Daf Chaf Beis. It's a stira. Why is it a stira? Because on Daf Beis it said that chamasim rubim tzilasa is pasul, which sounds like 50-50, it would be kasher. Over here we say tzilasim rubim chamasim is kasher, sounds like 50-50, schach to shade would be pasul. So the Gemara is going to ask it as a stira. So Rashi says, don't worry that it seems repetitive. It's not repetitive at all. It's a stira, and therefore by answering that stira, we're going to see that each one is teaching us a separate halacha. The Aruch Hanor is bothered by Rashi's kasha. Why is Rashi even bothered that we mention it twice? The Gemara does that all the Mishnais do that all the time. We mention davar ve'afecha. We always say that if you do it this way, it's kasher. But if you do it the other way, it's pasul. When it comes to discussing the dalad minim, the Mishnah and lama dalad and beis is going to say also chazazus al rubo v'nike v'chaser kolshu pasul, also chazazus al miuto v'nike v'lo chaser kolshu kasher. And the Gemara never asks, and Rashi never asks, why do you have to mention the second side? You already mentioned the first side. That's just the style of the Mishnayos. So the Aruch Hanor points out, yeah, that's the style of the Mishnayos within the same Mishnah. Over here, we're not even in the same Perek. So to give me the flip side, to tell me that Chamasim Rumitzalas is possible, and then to wait 20 blot, to wait till the next Perek, till you tell me the flip side, that's unusual. And that must be what bothers Rashi. Hamu'uva k'min bayis, if the schach is thick, like the roof of a house, aval b'shena kochav nir mitocha, even though you cannot see the stars from inside of the sukkah, it's still going to be kasher. So, frek the Gemara, my miduvlelas. What was this first halacha in the Mishnah? That a sukkah that's miduvlelas is kasher. What does that mean? Two possibilities. Amar Rav, sukkah aniya. Rav says it means that it's a sparsely schacht sukkah. There's very little schach. There are just a few reeds on top of the sukkah and a lot of avir. So that's sukkah aniya, meaning that you have no single area in the sukkah where there's three tefachim straight of schach, but it is tzilasim rumi chamasa. Ushmuel amar Kana Ola v'karna yorei. Shmuel says, no, it's not about the amount of schach, it's about the positioning of the schach. That you have schach on two different levels. It goes up, down, up, down. You have schach on a higher level and then schach on a lower level. So Rav Tani Chadu, Shmuel Tani Tarti. Just in terms of reading the Mishnah, Rav learned that the first line of our Mishnah is telling me one halacha, and Shmuel read that the first line of the Mishnah is telling me two halachas. Rav Tani Chada, Rav read the Mishnah to teach me one halacha in the first line as follows. Sukkah midavlales, midavlales, midudeles, shetzilasim rumi chamasa, kshera. That a sukkah midavlales, and if you want to know what midavlales means, it means a sparsely schacht sukkah where it has more, but it still has more shade than sunlight, that's kosher. So that was all one line in the Mishnah. Sukkah midavlales, shetzilasim rumi chamasa, kshera is all one halacha. That if there's very little schacht, but it's enough to have more shade than sunlight, 51% shade, that is kosher. Ushmol tani tarti, Shmuel will say, no, the Mishnah is teaching two halachos. My midavlales, mivulbeles. Midavlales means that it's all mixed, it's messed up. It's a little bit high, a little bit low, high, low, high, low. So vitarti katani, and the Mishnah is therefore teaching me two halachos. Sukkah mivulbeles ksheira. Number one, that when you have a sukkah that's kana olav, a kana yared, it's kosher. And number two, vitzilsim rumi chamsa ksheira. A second halacha, that if there's more shade than sunlight, so then it is going to be kosher. So what about la halacha? How do we paskin? So the Rosh paskins like Shmuel, because the Gemara has a whole shakla vitaria. Abai and Rava, we're about to see a whole shakla vitaria within the shita of Shmuel. And furthermore, Rav, it could be, doesn't argue la halacha with Shmuel, and he agrees that a sukkah that's kana olav, kana yared is kosher. He's just arguing how to read the Mishnah, says the Rosh. So for those two reasons, the fact that the Gemara has a whole shakla vitaria that we're about to see within shita Shmuel, and the fact that it's not even necessarily so that Rav argues on Shmuel, so he passes like Shmuel. The Rif doesn't quote the whole discussion of Abaye and Rava, so the Rush points out from the fact that the Rif doesn't quote the whole discussion that we're about to see between Abaye and Rava about Shmuel Shita, must be that the Rif does not paskin like Shmuel, but the Rush is bothered by that. Why would the Rif not paskin like Shmuel? Abaye and Rava are Basrai, Hilchsa Kibasrai, you always follow the later generations of Amorim. I mean, clearly if Abaye and Rava are arguing with Shmuel, they must hold like Shmuel. So that's the kasha that the Rush asks on the Rif. Sfasemis has the teretz for the Rif, but let's see the Gemara now. This discussion of Abaye and Rava. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela she'ein bein zel lezeh shloshu tefachim. This idea that kana ola v'kana yared, that if you have schach that's higher and lower and higher and lower, that it's going to be kosher, is only if there's less than three tefachim of a height differential between the lower pieces of schach and the higher pieces of schach. Av yesh bein zel lezeh gimel tefachim psula. But if there's a three tefach or more height differential between the lower parts of the schach and the higher parts of the schach, then it is going to be pasul. Amar Rava. Rava comments, Afilu yesh bein zel lezeh shlosh tefachim nami lo amran, ela she'ein begago tefach. Avil yesh begago tefach, kosher, ksheira darmin chavut rami. Rava says that even if they are more than three tefachim apart from each other in terms of height, if the width of each piece of schach is at least one tefach, we would still say it's kosher. You are allowed a gap of more than three tefachim height-wise as long as each one is a tefach wide, because then we'd apply the concept called chavut rami. Chavut rami is another halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim that applies to mechitzos. That we say that if you have staggered pieces of schach that are of different heights, that we view them as if they're all lower to the same level, as if they're all on an even level with each other. So that's the shita of Rava. You don't have to necessarily have them within three tefachim of each other, even more than three tefachim of each other, more than three tefachim apart from each other. We would apply chavut rami, provided that each one is one tefach wide. So the question over here is Ravi even arguing on Abaye? I mean, Abaye said that more than three tefachim apart is a problem. Rava says, you're right, it's a problem when they're less than a tefach wide. But if it's more than a tefach wide, then it's not a problem. So does Abaye think that if it's more than three tefachim apart, being a tefach wide doesn't help? So that's a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether Abaye and Rava disagree with each other. The Bala Shlama says that it could be that Abaye does not disagree with Rava, and he agrees that if it's tefach wide, it's kosher, even when they're more than three tefachim apart from each other in terms of height. But that goes Maimonios and Sukkah Perakei Alach Chafalov says that Abaye is cholik on Rava and holds that when there's shlosh tefachim, it's always going to be possible, even if there's a tefach of width in between them. So it's a machlokas whether they argue. And also again over here, if one wanted to be medaik, it's Amar Rava, it's not Rava Amar. So Amar Rava would make it sound like it's not a machlokas, it's a qualification, that he's just qualifying the previous statement. But as we said before, it's not an ironclad rule. Sometimes you'll have the Amar before the name, and it is in fact a machlokas. So Amar Rava Mina Aminala. So Rava said Mina Aminala Chiyus Tefach Amrin Chavad Rami Vichles Petefach Lo Amrin Chavad Rami. Where did I get this idea? Rava says that it all depends on a tefach. That if it's tefach wide, then we apply Chavad Rami. But if it's not a tefach wide, we're not going to apply Chavad Rami. Where did I get this that concept? So he says I got it from Halachos of Tumah. Tetna, and we learned in the Mishnah with regard to Tumah, the Mishnah Mesechas Alos to Tumas Oel Koros Habay. Even before we see what the actual Mishnah is, Pnei Yeshua says you bring a raya from Tumah. Didn't we already say on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that Shiny Tumah the Hilchsa Gemirila, that all the halachas of Tumah are this own independent area of halacha where it's governed by its own halacha l'moshe misinai? So on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we're discussing whether we say Lavud Be'emtza. So the one that said that we don't hold of Lavud Be'emtza proves it from Tumah. So Gemara says, Nah, Shiny Hilchas Tumah the Hachi Gemirilahu. You can't prove that there's no Lavud Be'emtza from Tumah because Hachi Gemirilahu, that's the halacha l'moshe misinai. So Pnei Yeshua says, what's Rav even thinking to bring a raya from Tumah? Shouldn't we say that Tumah is different, that Hachi Gemirilu? So Pnei Yeshua says that Dafka over there by Lavud, we say that because we find a din of Lavud that we already find by Tumah, the din of Lavud is different than it is outside of the halachas of Tumah. When it comes to Erevin and Sukkah, din of Lavud is always three tefachim. By Tumah, we know that Poseach Tefach is already too big of a gap, that it's already going to allow Tumah through when it's one tefach wide. So even if we do apply Lavud by Tumah, we only apply it by one tefach. So by Tumah, it's built in that the din of Lavud is fundamentally different. So that's why we say, yeah, Hachi Gemirilu. You can't prove whether there's Lavud be'emtza from Tumah, because we know the laws of Lavud are different by Tumah than they are by rest of Hilchos Mechitzos. But Chavut Rami, we don't have any difference between Chavut Rami by Tumah and Chavut Rami by the rest of Hilchos Mechitzos. So we could bring a raya to the rules of Chavut Rami by how it works with regard to Hilchos Tumah. So what is the raya? Let's see it now. Ditanan, we have a Mishnah. Again, this is going to try to prove that Chavut Rami only applies when you have a one tefach wide board. The reason why when there's less than three tefachim differential of height, Rav is going to say it's kosher even when you don't have one tefach wide board, is not because he applies Chavad Rami, that's just Lavud, that if it's within three tefachim of each other, we view them as if they're on the same level, because that's Lavud. But when they're more than three tefachim apart from each other in terms of height, one tefach wide board will apply Chavad Rami. Where did he get the idea that it needs to be one tefach wide? The Tanan of the Mishnah says as follows, Koros HaBayis V'Aliyah She'in Aleim Aziva. Let's say you have no roof on top of a house, no ceiling on top of the lower floor, and no roof on top of the top floor. All you have is beams running across the lower floor of the house, and beams running across the upper floor of the house. So, vehin mechuvanos, and those beams, the beams on the lower level and the beams on the higher level, are exactly aligned with each other. So you have beam, gap, and on both levels, and the beams on both levels are exactly aligned with each other. So tumah tachas achas, man, if you have tumah underneath one of the beams on the ground level, tachteh tameh, then underneath that beam is going to be tameh. Whatever's under that beam is tameh. That beam itself is an ohel. So that beam spreads the tumah to anything that's under that beam. But beina tachtona le'elyona, beinein tameh. If you have tumah in between the bottom beam and the top beam, so again, they're mechuvanos, are exactly lined up. So the top, if you have tumah on top of the bottom beam, let's say, resting on top of the bottom beam, so the top beam serves as an ohel over that tumah. So bene and tame, anything in between those beams is therefore going to be tame. Al gabe el yona, what if the tumah is on top of the top beam? Kinegda ad la rekia tame. Then the tumah will just go straight up until the rekia. No great chiddush there. Hayu el yonos kebena tachtonos. What if the upper beams were not perfectly aligned with the lower beams? To the contrary, the upper beams filled in the areas where the lower beams did not fill in, where the gaps between the lower beams, that's where the upper beams were positioned. So tumah tachtein, if there was tumah underneath them, tachas kulan tameh, we assume that anything underneath anything everything, the entire surface of the ground floor of the house is going to be tameh, because the top beams and the bottom beams combine with each other to create one consistent surface of roof. We view it all as one big roof. Al gabeyan, if there's tumah on top of the bottom beams, then connect another rikia tameh. Then the tumah just goes straight up to the rikia. There's no ohel over it at all. Because if you have tumah on top of one of the bottom beams, there's nothing above the bottom beam, because the top beams are not aligned with the bottom beams in this case. So the tumah would just go out the rikia. Vitani Allah, and we commented about that, ba'medvar mamurim bizman sheyesh ben tafach u'benein poseach tafach. This whole discussion assumes that the beams are at least one tafach apart from each other in height, but also that they're at least one tefach wide. Avalein b'nein pusach tefach mit a tumah tachas achzmin. But if there's not a pusach tefach between them, then if there's tumah under one of them, tachteh tameh b'nein valgabe and tahar. Then whatever is underneath that beam is tameh, but whatever is between the beams and whatever is on top of them is going to be tahar. Alma, so what do we see from here? Ki isbe tefach arminun chavad rami, that only when the beams are a tefach wide, that's when we say chavad rami, that we view the roof as if it's one consistent roof, even though half the beams are a story higher than the other half of the beams. V'chiles be tefach lo arminun chavad rami, but if it's not a tefach wide, we don't say chavad rami. So shmamina, so that's our raya from the halachas of tumah, from the halachas of tumas oel, that chavad rami only applies when you have a tefach of width. So that's Rava's mina aminala. That's how Rava knows his din. So the Gemara is now going to challenge that din. Is that really true that we always say that when it's one tefach wide we'll apply chavad rami, otherwise we won't? Yosef Rav Kana v'kamer la shmeita. Rav Kana was saying over this machlokas abayin and Rava. Amalei Rav Ashi the Rav Kana. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Kana, v'kol heicha delas be tefach lo armin chavad rami. Really, when it's not a tefach, you're not going to apply the concept of chavad rami? V'atanya, we have a brisa that says otherwise. The brisa in Hilchas Erevin. You have a mavoi that you want to be able to carry. In order to be matir carrying in a mavoi, you need a lechi or a kora. So we're talking where they put a kora, where they put a beam over the entranceway to the mavoi. But let's say the beam wasn't quite long enough. It didn't reach from one end to the other end of the entranceway of the mavoi. It comes out of one wall, but it doesn't quite reach the opposite wall. V'chein shtei koros, or if you have two short beams, one coming out of one side wall, the other one coming out of the other side wall, but they do not meet in the middle. They're not long enough to actually meet in the middle. So if there's less than a three tefach gap, either in the first case between the end of the beam and the opposite wall, or in the second case between the two beams, where they're less than three tefachim apart from each other in the middle, so then you don't need another beam, you're perfectly fine. That is lavud. That's perfectly fine. Shlosha tzarech lavikara acheres. But if there's more than a three tefach gap, then you're going to need another beam to make it okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, pachos me arba'a ein tzarech lavikara acheres, arba'a tzarech lavikara acheres. He allows a gap of up until four tefachim, not just three tefachim, a gap of up until four tefachim is permitted to make the beam work as the mavoi. So far, none of this has anything to do with chavad rami. We have not brought our raya yet. This is just, we're just quoting the whole conversation, but it's not about chavad rami yet. V'chein shtei kuros hamatimos hamatimos. And the same is true if you have two parallel beams. You have two beams running parallel to each other. Lo bazuka de la kabbal ariach, v'lo bazuka de la kabbal ariach. Now, a beam over a mavoi has to be strong enough and thick enough to support a brick, to hold a brick on top of it. You can't just use a string for the entranceway of a mavoi. It needs to be something that's strong enough to be able to support a brick. So what if you have two beams, but both of them are flimsy? Each one independently would not be able to be mekabel ariach. Im mekabel ariach l'rach v'tefach, ein tzarech l'vikarei acheres. If together, the two beams together were strong enough to be mekabel ariach, that's one tefach, so then it would be good enough. You would not have to bring any other beam. That would be good enough. So Rashi points out, what does it mean tefach? K'shein smuch azuluzu. If they were pushed up against each other, that it would be able to support a tefach, ain't sarach lavi karacheres. Vim lav shein shtein ruchavos tefach sarach lavi karacheres. But if the two of them combined are not a tefach wide, then you would have to bring another korah. But vim lav sarach lavi karacheres. Good. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says no, it's a different qualification. In mekablos ariach la orcho shlosh tefachim. If the length of the brick can run across these two beams, then ain't so three tefach length of the brick can run across these two beams, ein tzarich lavi karacheres. Then you don't need another beam. Ve'im lav tzarich lavi karacheres. But otherwise, you will need another beam. Still, we have not yet gotten to our raya. None of this is relevant to our discussion of Chavat Rami. Now, here we go. Hayu achas l'malav yachas l'mata. Let's say the two beams were not on the same level of height. One of them was higher up, the other one was lower down. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Do'omer, ro'en ha'elyona ki iluhi l'mata ve'satachtona ki iluhi l'mala. That we view the upper one as if it were lower and the lower one as if it were higher. Ublvad shalote elyona l'mala me'asr ma'amava tachtona l'mata me'asara. As long as the gap is not so great that the top one is more than 20 amos high and the bottom one is less than 10 tvachim high off the ground. So as long as it's not such a big deal, otherwise it would be kosher even though they're of different heights. Sounds like Hazev Zeb Toch Esrim, Amin Chavad Rami, Alpha Kav Zeles Petefach. Sounds like if they were both within 20 amos of the ground, let's say, we would say Chavad Rami, even though we never mentioned anything about the beams being a tefach wide. So apparently they do not have to be a tefach wide, and we're going to apply Chavad Rami even when there's a gap of way more than three tefachim, because we said as long as one is not more than 20 amos, where the other one is not less than 10 tefachim. So it sounds like you could have a 10 amah gap between the heights of the beams, and it's still going to be okay. We're still going to apply Chavad Rami, and we never made any mention of a qualification that it has to be a tefach wide. So apparently, we say Chavad Rami even when it's not a tefach wide. Akasha and Rava. So says Mara Amle Tritz ve'imahachi. That is a simple way out of it because you have to adjust the wording of this last halacha. It should not read that as long as the top one is not more than 20 amos high and the bottom one not less than 10 tefachim high. What it should read is as follows: Oblvat shalote elyona l'malam e'esrim ela b'toch esrim v'atachtona smuch lo b'pachs mishlosha. As long as the top one is not more than 20 amos high, rather the top one needs to be under 20 amos high, and the bottom one still needs to be within three tefachim of the top one, meaning if the top one is 19 amos and five tefachim off the ground, the bottom one can be no less than 19 amos and two tefachim off the ground. It's got to be within three tefachim of the top beam. Inami, and another qualification is, in terms of the minimum height, is b'vat shalotei tachtona l'mata me'asara, that the minimum height of a beam is going to have to be 10 tefachim. The bottom one needs to be at least 10 tefachim off the ground. El l'mala me'asara ve'el yona smuchla b'pachs mishlosha. If the bottom one is 10 tefachim off the ground, then provided that the top one is within 3 tefachim of height of the bottom one, it's going to be kosher. So why did we not require a tefach width of each beam to apply Chavad Rami? Because this, we weren't even talking about Chavad Rami. We were applying Lavud. We didn't need Chavad Rami. We were talking about two beams that were within three tefachim of each other. When did Rava say you needed to be a tefach wide? That's when there's a gap of height of more than three tefachim. That's where Chavad Rami comes in. Av shlosha kiven delas pe tefach lo amrin Chavad Rami. But if it were three tefachim wide, three tefachim rather of a differential in height, if it doesn't have a tefach of width, enachinami, we would not apply Chavad Rami. But this whole discussion was all about where it's where there's no gap of three tvachim in terms of the height. Good. The Mishnah had mentioned that if there's more shade than sunlight, it is kosher. So, frankly, Gemara, haki adadi psula, makes it sound like if shade and sunlight were exactly 50-50, it would be possible. That's what our Mishnah sounds like. Vatnan biyiduch pirkin, but we learned in the previous parak, we learned in the first Mishnah of the first parak, vishacham asum rumitzil psula, haki adadi ksheira, that if there's more sunlight than there is shade, it's possible, which makes it sound like if the sunlight and the shade were exactly 50-50, it would be kosher. So it's a steer in the implication between the Mishnah on Daf Beis and the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Beis. Which is it? When it's 50-50, is it kasher or is it pasul? Says Mara lo kasha. Kan milamala, kan milamata. It depends where you're looking at it from. If you're looking at it from on top or you're looking at it from the bottom. So Amar of Papa, Hainu Damri Inshi, that's what people say. Kizuza mila el, ki istra mila tachas. The size of a zuz on top, so the sunlight spreads and becomes like the size of an istra, which presumably is a much larger coin, mila tachas on the bottom. The way Rashi reads this is as follows. Kan milamala means when on the top the schach and the avir are exactly 50-50, meaning it's exactly 50% coverage, exactly 50% non-coverage, then it's pasul. Why? Because the way that's going to appear on the bottom in the actual sukkah is the sunlight is going to spread. It's going to look like more sunlight than shade. Kan milamata, when on the bottom, on the ground of the sukkah, it looks like equal sunlight and shade, that's kasher. Why? Because if it looks equal on the bottom, then you know that it's more than 50% coverage of schach. And Omer of Papa, Einu Dam Riechi, Kezuz Milel, Kisra Milatachas. So Rashi understands that a zuz is much smaller than an istara. So when sunlight shines through the size of a zuz, it comes to much larger on the floor of the sukkah. Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel, Kezuz Milel, it's really the same Dibra Maskel, Kan Milel, Kan Milamat. It's just the first one he just quotes Rashi. But in Kezuz Milel, Kisra Milatachas, Tosos points out that Rashi is very difficult for a couple of reasons. First of all, he says the Rav Papa himself says that Paritz Ka'omed is mutter. The way Rashi is explaining the Gemara is that when it's exactly 50-50 mila el on the top, that's no good. That's not considered kasher schach. So it would be a stira in how Rav Papa within Shitas Rav Papa. And not only that, the coins are a little messed up because the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Aleph and Beis tells us that an istra is a half of a zuz, which probably means that it's a smaller coin, because in most currencies, the smaller size coins are worth less. It's not like a diamond and nickel, and I think that's somewhat unique that we have a currency like that where a smaller coin is worth more than a larger coin. Most currencies, smaller coin is worth less. So if an istra is worth half of a zuz, so an istra is probably smaller than a zuz. So the whole mashal doesn't make sense. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam has a different interpretation. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, kan milamala means someone who's standing from on top by the level of schach and sees that the parutz is the same as the omed, is the same as the schach, it's going to be kasher, because then you're when you're at the level, you can accurately gauge it. So if it looks like it's 50-50, it is 50-50, and that's kasher. Kan milamata means from the bottom, you're looking up at your schach. And when you're looking up at your schach, you're looking klapei mala, and it looks to be even, so then it's going to be pasul. Because a wider avir will, from a distance, will appear to be smaller. Your mind will play tricks on you, and when it's more avir than there is schach, it will look to be 50-50. So when you're looking from the ground level of the sukkah, that's what kan milamata means. And hainu damrin shi kezuzu mel kisra milatachas means that when you have avir that's wide like a zuz, mala, meaning if it's actually wide like a zuz, from the bottom it's only going to appear like an istra. It's going to appear like a smaller coin when you're looking at it from the bottom. Avir of that space is going to appear like a smaller coin. The Bali Itur says like Rashi in explaining the Gemara Lamala Lamata, but he's cholik on Rashi in the din. He holds that when in Lamala it's shava, the schach and the avir, are equal Lamala, it's kasher because you know that the cell is misraba Lamata. He says that there's more, the shade is what expands on the bottom of the sukkah, not the sunlight. So Rashi understood that when there's a gap, when it's 50-50, the sunlight will expand on the floor level of the sukkah. The Bali Itur understands that when it's 50-50, the shade is what will be more expanded on the floor of the sukkah, not the sunlight. So the Karmen HaSanal in those tests just points out, it seems like it's a machlokas and mitzias between the Rashi and the Bali Itur, and he points out obviously that it's not really machlokas and mitzias. It really depends on the angle of the sun. So how the schach is angled and how the sun is angled. So it could be even at different points in the day, it will mean more sunlight on the bottom or more shade on the bottom. So the question is which one we follow. Do we look at the times of the day where there's more sunlight on the bottom or the times of the day where there's more shade on the bottom? But it's an unusual kind of machlokas that they have. have. Rav Gifter has a whole back and forth with the Chelkas Yaakov about Tumah of Kohanim flying over in an airplane, where they also have like a very similar Machlokas and Metzius, where the Chelkas Yaakov's Heter of Kohanim flying over a cemetery is that by an airplane, it's not a psik ratio that you're going to fly over the cemetery, even if that's the flight path, because if they just veer a little bit, it'll be totally off. It'll be a million miles away. And Rav Gifter said, what are you talking about? The earth is round, and if you make a bigger ball around a smaller ball, when you veer off a little bit, you're veering off very little on the surface of the ground. You're not going further away. And I have this whole machlokes and metzius of how it actually works when you veer off a little bit in the air. Are you is it considered like a greater distance on the ground level or not a greater distance on the ground level? It's a fascinating discussion because you rarely find poskim going back and forth just arguing on a metzius. They're just arguing on how to do geometry. It's a very, very strange. Okay, so the Gemara says, now let's get to the Mishnah. If the schach is so thick like a house, if it's thick like a house, even though you cannot see the stars from inside of the sukkah, it's kshera. What if you can't even see any rays of sunlight from inside? So Beshame Polson Besil Machshirin. Beshame would say that's possible. Beisil says that it's kosher. The Ran quotes from the Yerushalmi that from the Lashon Machshirin it sounds like at least the Chathila you should need to see the Kochavim. But what does Kochavim mean? Kochve Chama means the rays of sunlight at the least you need to see. So Asemis is Medayik from the Lashon. The Mishnah Muva Kamin Bayis Avlishena Kochavim Nir Mitoch Kshera sounds like the Mishnah uses the word Kochavim. Makes it sound like it's not Koch Vechama. So the implication of the Mishnah is the Chachili, you should have to see the stars themselves, like our children are taught in school, that you have to see the stars from inside the sukkah. But at the very least, the rays of sunlight is what the Gemara seems to really be concluding. And even if you're going to be Machmir, that you have to see the stars, it's only Lechachila, it certainly would not possibly be the Evan. And the Sfasema says it doesn't mean that you have to look up and automatically see the stars. It means that if you position yourself right underneath one of the gaps and you squint a little bit and you're able to see a star in between that gap, that's good enough. It doesn't have to be that that you just see it stam. It doesn't say nirim bitocha, it says mitocha. He says if it was bitocha, it would just be stam. But mitocha sounds like even if you're looking for it. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.